sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Dyer. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Dyer, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Not the things that I want,
not the things that I want,
but the things that I need,
but the things that I need.
This must be my desire,
this must be my desire, if the Savior would heed, if the Savior would heed. So in faith I resolve,
so in faith I resolve,
but in trusting His word,
but in trusting His word,
and receiving it all,
and receiving it all,
in the hands of the Lord,
in the hands of the Lord. From God,
is from God,
the forgiver of sin,
the forgiver of sin,
has an army for Christ,
has an army for Christ.
Let us work in the Lord,
let us work in the Lord,
ever leaving it all,
ever leaving it all,
in the hands of the Lord,
in the hands of the Lord.
Before we begin the message today, I want to make a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. At this time, we want to offer the series entitled The Starling Savior. In this series, we deal with five different ways in which the Savior is starling. These five ways are as follows. Jesus Christ is startling in His virgin birth. He is startling in His virtuous life. He is startling in His vicarious suffering. He is startling in His victorious resurrection. And He will be startling in His visible return. This series consists of five parts and has been recorded on three cassette tapes. And we are offering this series for a gift of only $7. And if you would like to obtain this series, simply write us at the address given at the end of the broadcast requesting the series entitled The Starling Savior. We'll be looking for your letter soon. Today, at this time, we're going to be reading, once again, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And for the sake of saving time, we're only going to be reading 2 verses of Scripture, that being verses 10 and 11. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand before the microphones once again and open the Word of God. We thank you for sustaining this broadcast. And we thank you for each supporter that supports this broadcast prayerfully as well as financially. Lord, as the Word of God goes forth today, I pray that it will do so in power, and that the Spirit of God will do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the fifth part of the message entitled, "Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle?" But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now here in the book of Ephesians, in these various chapters, we have stated that the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little bit different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. Then in chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. Then in chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we find two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, condescends to a battlefield. And the reason that he does this is because that the believer's life is lived on the battlefield. My friend, the believer is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And a soldier is one that needs strength. My friend, the circumstances of the battlefield require the soldier to have strength and be strong. Therefore, here in verse number 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Then in verse number 11, Paul tells the believer how this is done. In verse number 11, Paul tells the believer how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And here in verse number 11, the Word of God says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verse number 10 and with the most part of verse number 11. And we have said many things that we're not going to be able to refer to at this time. But I do want to say this. You'll notice here in verse number 11 that Paul uses the word "stand." Here in verse 11, once again, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand." Now this word "stand" is the word "antihist." This is where we get our word antihistamine. And of course, this is a medical term. And this word stand here in verse number 11 is a word which means to fight against. Now, what is Paul saying here in verse number 11? My friend, he is simply saying this. He is telling the believer to put on the whole armor of God that they may be able to give the devil a dose of his own medicine. A dose of his own medicine. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here in verse number 11. Then in this verse, Paul goes on and he says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, going off the broadcast last week, we just began to deal with this word wiles. This is a word that is only used two times in all of the Word of God. It is used one time in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament. Now, this word wiles here in verse number 11 is the translation of the Greek word methodeus. And this is where we get our word method. And this word wiles here in verse number 11 is a word which means tricks or methods or strategies in warfare. And this reminds me of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with verse number 11. For in that verse, Paul speaks of Satan's devices. My friend, the devil uses many wiles or tricks or methods or strategies against God's people in this warfare. Most certainly he does. And I might say this at this time as well. The devil is an old campaigner. My friend, he's not a beginner. He's not in the kindergarten class. He is an old campaigner. My friend, the devil has had a lot of experience at what he does. As a matter of fact, he has had approximately 6,000 years of experience in dealing with Adam's descendants. And my friend, the devil is a master in the art of deceit. So Paul makes it clear here in verse number 11 that the devil uses many wiles against God's people in this warfare. Now listen, my friend. There are many believers today that treat life as though it were a Sunday school picnic at which they were making their way to the table to get a drink of pink lemonade. But this is dangerous. This is dangerous. And I say this because of what Peter makes known in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. And here in this verse, the Word of God says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now the word your in verse number 8 is having reference to those that's been saved by the grace of God. Redemptively speaking, there are two classes of people upon the face of this earth today. Number one, there is the sons of the devil. And number two, there is the sons of God. And when God Almighty delivers a person from the power of darkness and translates that person into the kingdom of His dear Son, the devil does not willingly admit defeat. Most certainly he doesn't. Usually, parents are willing to let someone else's children alone and take care of their own children. But my friend, that isn't the attitude of the devil. The devil leaves his own children alone and he traffics with God's children and he attacks God's children. That's what Peter is saying here in verse number 8. Here in this verse he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. And this word walketh here is used in the present tense. And Peter is telling us that the devil is constantly stalking about, seeking whom he may devour or gobble up. That's what Peter is telling us. Peter is telling us here by this word walketh that the devil never relaxes. He never relaxes. You sleep, but he doesn't sleep. While you sleep, he plans for the next day's activity and the next day's attack. And Peter tells us here that he is constantly stalking about. He never relaxes. And then he goes further and he says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to draw to your attention as well that here, in verse number 8, Peter does not just refer to the devil as a lion, but as a roaring lion. And this word roaring is significant. My friend, no lion stalking his prey announces the fact by roaring. The lion is silent till it gets within striking distance of its prey. And then it moves swiftly. And at the very moment of attack, and at the very moment when the lion moves in for the kill, he roars. And Peter refers to the devil here as a roaring lion. And that tells us that the devil is out to destroy the saint of God at every moment. Every moment. That's what Peter is telling us here. And because this is true, the believer should not be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. You'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Word of God says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, my friend, the word advantage here in verse number 11 means a toehold. A toehold. Now listen, my friend, a mountain climber scaling a mountain does not need a road to get to the top of the mountain. A skilled mountain climber can make his way to the top of the mountain if he can just get as much as a toehold. A toehold. You give the mountain climber a toehold, and he can go to the top of the highest mountain. And my friend, we as believers many times act ignorantly. Most certainly we do. Because we act like Satan cannot get the best of us unless we provide him with a four-lane superhighway. But this is wrong. This is wrong. All the devil desires is to get a toehold. And if he gets as much as a toehold, he will use this to defeat you as a believer. So therefore, the believer needs to be acquainted with the wiles of the devil. And the believer must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. So we find that Paul makes it clear here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11 that the devil uses many wiles against God's people in this warfare. And at this time, I want to begin dealing with some of the wiles of the devil. Some of the wiles or tricks that the devil uses against God's people in this warfare. And I trust that as we deal with these, that it will be instructive and be a help to every saint of God that is listening. Number one, it is a wild of the devil to get the believer to live in the past. Number one, it is a trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the past or live on past blessings. It's a wild or trick of the devil to get you as a believer to live in the past and live on past blessings. A lot of professing Christians today brag about how much they, or excuse me, they brag about how they used to go to church, how they used to read the Bible, how they used to witness, how they used to pray. And the words used to are two of the favorite words of a backslider. And it's a trick of the devil to get you as a believer to live in the past and live on past blessings. I want you to notice at this time a passage found in the book of Exodus. And this is found in Exodus chapter number 16. And here in Exodus chapter number 16, we read of the manna that the Lord provided for the nation of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And as you study this chapter, you will find that this manna was to be gathered each day except on the Sabbath day. For God told these people to gather twice as much the day before the Sabbath. And by doing this, they would have enough for the following day, which would be the Sabbath. But the thing that I want to emphasize right here is this. God told these people not to let any manna remain till the morning. But we find that some of these people were like a typical Baptist, and they thought that they knew more than God. And they let some of the manna remain till morning. And the Word of God tells us that it bred worms and stank. Or in other words, it spoiled. And this is a picture of a believer trying to live on past blessings. It's a trick of the devil to get you as a believer to live in the past and live on past blessings. Number two, it's a wild of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. Number two, it's a trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. My friend, there are a lot of professing Christians today that are always talking about what they are going to do. They say, I am going to do this. I am going to do that. I am going to go here. I am going to go there. But at the same time, it seems like they never do it. Listen to me, my friend. We have a group of professing Christians today, and all they like to talk about is the past and the good old days. Now listen to me carefully. When I use the expression, the good old days, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I want you to understand that I'm not on the broadcast today criticizing those saints of God that are up in years. God Almighty knows that I highly respect those saints of God that are up in years and those saints of God that are elderly. I'm not criticizing them at all. But when I use this expression today, I'm using it to drive home a point. We have a group of professing Christians today who don't talk about anything but the future. And all they like to do is sing about the sweet by and by. But friend, I want you to realize today and understand that we are not living in the good old days.
We are not living in the sweet by and by, but we're living in the nasty now and now. We're living in that nasty now and now. We're living in this evil day. What about right now? What are you doing for Jesus Christ right now? Paul says in Romans 13 and verse number 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I say, what are you doing for Jesus Christ right now? That which is done for Christ must be done now. It must be done now. So we find, number one, it's a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the past. Number two, it's a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. Now that's as far as we're going on the broadcast today. You listen next week, and we will bring the sixth part of this message, if God allows. And we will deal further with some of the wiles or tricks of the devil. You make sure and listen. But my friend, if you're listening to this broadcast today, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're not a soldier in God Almighty's army. But you're in the camp with the devil if you've never been saved. And your need is salvation. And today is the day of salvation. If you've never been saved, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll save every soul that's calling upon You at this time. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.